This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Bug the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, the Caps, they got their stuff together. Things are looking good. Coach Dan is here, but we don't even need to intro. We can just move on to Down on the Farm because, Caps, whatever you're doing, keep it going. Keep it going. Keep doing it because it's working. Caps are looking good, peaking at the right time. Joining me as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
I'm feeling good. Caps are feeling good. Things are looking up. We had a back-to-back Saturday and Sunday. Penguins and Bruins. The Caps had a little bit of a rocky start to begin that Penguins game, but ever since then, all things pointing up. This team is looking ready for a run.
I mean, going back in the last four games, they are on a four-game winning streak.
Yeah.
They beat Tampa, beat Pittsburgh, beat Boston, beat the you-know-what out of the Flyers.
And so three of those four are teams that they could potentially see in the playoffs.
Yes, though two of them would have to be after, like, in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right.
But, yes, three of the four were playoff-bound teams. The four are teams fighting for positioning in the playoffs. Boston and Tampa right now are fighting for that third spot in the Atlantic Division. Pittsburgh's fighting to stay in the third spot, if not make some sort of attempt to try and catch the Rangers, though they seem to be flying right there. They're 5 points up on Pittsburgh with one less game played. The Caps right now are doing exactly what they need to be doing. They had that players-only meeting, and clearly that lit a fire under them because they're playing much better than we've been seeing recently. And dare I say, Ilya Samsonov has been playing much better than we've seen through a lot of this season. But the issue with him hasn't been the inability to play well. It's been the inability to play well consistently.
Right.
We'll see a game where he comes out and we're like, this guy's amazing. Like, how did no one else want to, like, this guy's great. He could be the future. Like, he's the star of this team. And the next time you come out and you're like, why is he even have an opportunity to play in the AHL? Like, he's not that bad. But his inconsistency, and you can say the same thing for Vanecek, is what's going to be the potential end of this team's season. You know, right now they have a great opportunity. I meant to do the math beforehand, and I forgot to do it to see what the magic number is for them to get into the playoffs.
I think they need six more points.
Is it six?
I believe it's six.
All right, maybe at one point while you're talking, I'm going to try and see if I can figure out the math. But
they could get a spot on this Western, it's not a Canadian road trip, but the longest road trip of the season that they're about to embark on, they could clinch a playoff spot during that road trip.
This is a weird road trip, though, because they go to Toronto, to Montreal, and then they go across to Colorado, and then to Vegas and Arizona. So, like, whoever created the schedules, with only one day in between Montreal and Colorado, so whoever created the schedule is a bit of a D-word. Like, that's just not nice. But I'll do the math at some point and try to figure it out. I think you're probably right with 6 points. Right now, they are currently 15 points up on the Islanders, although they have played one less game. They've got, what, 9 games left to go. So it's just figuring out what the Islanders' total is. And as soon as the Caps hit that number, then they've clinched. But obviously the Islanders, I mean, theoretically, they're not going to win 10 more games, which will give them 20 points. So it's 97. So really, to clinch, yeah, you're right, 6 points. 6 points clinches. And potentially less if the Islanders lose a couple games and the Caps win. So we're looking at a max of 6 points to get them wins. So if you look at if they win 3 of the games on the next 5.
And you see, the good thing for the Capitals here is 7 of the last 9 are on the road. And this has been a road team this year. They have been very good on the road, having troubles, of course, like we've documented many times at home. But 7 of the last 9 on the road, that's actually a good thing for the boys.
If you go and you look at the league standings, the away record right now, Caps have the third best away record in the league. They are 22-7-5. They are only behind Pittsburgh, who's 22-10-6, and Colorado, who's blowing everyone away, they're 24-10-3. Now, if you look at the home record, they are, let me put it this way. It took me a second to find them. That's how far down they are. I'm not counting. They're like middle of the pack, which is obviously a massive problem. So this team clearly does pretty well on the road. It's the interesting part also about the remaining games that I'm looking at is they're basically trying to fight off the Islanders right now. Like, Columbus technically hasn't been eliminated, but the odds of them making it is, I would say at this point, slim to none. I mean, they're 16 points behind the cap. No, sorry. 18 points behind the Caps, and they only have 9 games left. So I'm pretty sure if Columbus have they already been eliminated? Why is it not on there? No. So if they lose one and the Caps win one, I would imagine Columbus is more or less eliminated at this point. But it's interesting to see. Are they not even acknowledging it? Maybe they are. The Caps website, which I guess is technically run by the NHL, doesn't actually have it listed as who is eliminated, just who is clinched, which I find weird. Why would you not put both of those up there? Didn't they used to?
I believe so.
So, yeah. Sorry. Anyways, got slightly off topic, as we tend to do. But, yeah, we're looking at 6 points. If the Caps can go and win 3 more, I mean, you're looking at Toronto, Montreal, and Colorado. All of those are not necessarily the easiest games to win. Montreal, you know, they're doing okay after they switch coaches. At least I think they are. Toronto, they're pushing for, well, they're not going to catch Florida. Florida's 10 points up on them. I highly doubt that's going to happen. But they're trying to hold off Tampa and Boston, who are only 4 and 5 points behind them. So they're certainly going to be pushing for a win. And you have Colorado, who's just blown everyone away with how well they've, I mean, that worked out for Andrei Burakovsky. He went from a really good team to a really good team.
Yeah, I mean,
you got Vegas, who I think
they're in the hunt.
They're on the outside looking in right now. That'll be interesting. Vegas has been a playoff team right since they've came into the league.
Yeah, they are 3 points behind Dallas right now.
And then there's Arizona, who historically are a bit of a dumpster fire.
39 points behind Dallas.
So, yeah.
It's interesting with teams like Montreal and Arizona, who you think don't have a lot to play for. All they got to play for is the game in front of them. They are trying to get wins to play spoiler. That is literally all they're playing for. So they'll bring it each night. You know, I don't know, the Flyers definitely didn't, but these teams have the potential of being like, this is all we're playing for, you know, let's play spoilers, let's not give these guys any more gimme points.
Yeah, I mean, I think you put it really well in terms of how, we talked about this, what, like a week or two ago, in terms of teams after the deadline, teams at that point are just playing for pride. Once they know they've been eliminated, they're not going to be one of the teams that's going to make it. They're looking at it as, I have nothing to necessarily prove except for a spot in next season's roster. So I'm going to play my you-know-what off to try and get something out of this season. I was wrong about Montreal. They're second to last in the NHL, so disregard that. They suck this season. That's a pretty big fall for them. But like we just talking about, they got nothing to lose. So they got guys that are going to be pushing to showcase something for either the current coaching staff or the coaching staff next year, for the general manager, team president, all those people behind the scenes that are going to be looking at them and going, you know, why do you deserve a shot on this team next year? I'm going to show you right now why I deserve a shot. So none of these games should be easy wins. Arizona, maybe. But none of the rest of these games should be easy wins. But if you can get 6 points on this road trip, but look at the last week of the season right now. Tuesday and Thursday, it's a home and home with the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
If they're still in the hunt, let's say the road trip doesn't, knock on wood, doesn't go well for the Capitals, those two games become massive for this team. Those are must-win games.
I mean, the Islanders are trailing right now, but there is potential. They could go for a run where those are huge 4-point games, but it might not be for that last spot against the Capitals. It could be that last spot against the Penguins, because Evgeny Malkin is out on a suspension. The Caps are trailing by only 3 points of the Penguins right now, so there's a very good chance, potentially, they could flip-flop. And we could be looking at a number 3 Capital team and a number 4 Penguins team.
Oh, that's certainly true. The Caps, like you said, are only 3 points behind. They played 2 less games than the Penguins, too. So with those games in hand, if they don't pull an Arsenal and actually win the games that they have in hand, then they have an opportunity to then be 1 point behind the Penguins. No, I'm sorry. They'd be ahead of them by a point. Apologies. They would be ahead of them by a point. And like you talked about, and we're going to talk about a little later with Malkin being out of their lineup, the Penguins are certainly an interesting spot. Over their last 10, they're 3-6-1 versus the Capitals. Over their last 10, they are 6-4. So one team, you know, looks like they're going one direction, another team's going another, but these things can change very quickly. So all the Caps need to do, they need to focus on themselves. Don't look at the standings. Don't look at the scores every night. Just go and do what you need to do. Go into every game thinking it's a must win. The playoffs already started for them. They haven't clinched, so they need to win and get every point they can. Let the coaching staff, let the front office people pay attention to the Islanders, right? They are not playing tonight. They are playing the they're playing the Penguins. Oh, do we want the Islanders to win and potentially gain point, you know, a little bit of space on the Caps, but help them out by beating the Penguins? That's a tough one.
Well, that's who the Penguins faced, I believe, on Tuesday night, and they got 1 point because they went to a shootout.
I mean, in that case, I think I'll go for the Islanders winning, because if the Caps win, it's irrelevant, but it helps them catch up to the Penguins.
Right.
So let's go for an Islanders win against the Pens with the Caps win in Toronto. That works out well for everybody, I think. Well, maybe not Toronto and Pittsburgh, but I don't care. So that's what we're looking at right now. You know, they're three back of the first wild card spot in Boston, but they keep messing around with Tampa, so that makes that a little bit worse. And I think they played, what did I just do with the standings? They've played the same amount of games as Boston. So, you know, you take a couple of those overtime losses. Remember earlier in the season when they couldn't win in overtime to save their lives?
Right.
That came back to haunt them a little bit. A
little bit.
You win three of those 10 that you've lost in overtime. Pittsburgh's lost 11 in overtime. That's interesting. But if you win three of those 10, you're now tied with Boston. You're tied with Pittsburgh with two less games played. So those overtime points came back to bite you in you know where.
Yeah, I mean, that big time it did. So obviously this team was able to kind of right the ship, if you will. They had that player-only meeting. Whatever that was said in that meeting seems to have worked. It seems like the boys are fighting for each other. I don't know if you saw the after game when they hand out the axe and the shield, but our favorite defenseman, Matt Irwin, he actually was given the axe by Tom Wilson, and he said, you know, he got a goal, and they were all proud of him. They kind of know his situation. And Matt Irwin's like, oh, this is really good. We have a really special group here. So it definitely feels like this guy or this team, even for a guy like Matt Irwin who sees the ice maybe for 20 seconds a month, that's what it feels like, really. But
a little harsh, but I see your point.
But for a guy who sees the ice for that little of a time, and he's going, we got a special group here. We do have each other's back. That's huge going into the playoffs. That's huge for this team because, you know, in 2018, everybody said we didn't have this giant weight on our shoulders to get as far as we could. We just kind of like took it one game at a time. So I kind of feel like that mentality's back. Maybe the guys that have been there before, been to the top of the mountain, were able to bring that up in the player-only meeting. Don't worry what you're doing tomorrow. Don't worry what you're doing in May. Worry about what we have right in front of you. Worry about what you have on the ice tonight, whether it is a guy like Matt Irwin who plays 23 seconds, or if it's a guy like Alex Ovechkin who plays so much he angers the other team. All of them have their spot. All of them have their job to do, and they're all doing it, and they're all doing it really well, especially guys like John Carlson and like Tom Wilson, who both of them are really making a standout performance at the end of the year.
I mean, talk about Wilson. He is having a career year right now, statistically. He's up to what, 22, 23 goals at this point?
That's the
23
most in his
goals,
career,
28
right?
assists, 51 points. I don't know if 51 points is the most in his career, but I have to imagine. ESPN, your stats thing is confusing to me. There it is. So most points in a season he's ever gotten is this year with 51 points. He is currently 7 points up on his total. Highest he had before that was 22 goals, 40 points in the 2018-2019 season. So after they won the cup.
It's a Russian machine 3 days ago. It wrote, Tom Wilson sets a new career high in goals.
He's got a career high in points. Well, he probably already had the career high in points, you know, by then. But looking at Matt Irwin, he skated. He wasn't the lowest skater in the game against the Flyers. Do you know who that was?
Who was that?
John Carlson.
Really?
He skated amongst the defensemen. Let me be clear. Amongst the defensemen, he skated the least. Now, a big reason for that is likely because they're blowing out the Flyers and they had no need to keep Carlson out there and risk potential injury.
Yeah, I think the Caps this morning said that the 9-2 goal deficit was the highest deficit they've had since they faced the Atlanta Thrashers, a team that doesn't exist anymore.
Maybe that was the biggest, you know, blowout they've had in quite a while. But you're looking at 3 goals in the first, 2 in the second, 4 in the third. I mean, that's nuts. And then you got the Flyers coming out complaining because Ovechkin's still on the ice. Hey, instead of being mad about the fact that we have our star player with a bunch of third and fourth liners on in the power play later in the game, maybe don't give up 9 freaking goals.
I love the fact that Tom Wilson actually took up for him and was yelling at the Flyers bench, "He's trying to chase Gretzky."
I did think that was pretty funny when I saw that. I was like, thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
That's why they did it. I have to imagine that if that wasn't the case, if this was a couple of years ago, or if he'd already caught the record, whatever the case may be, he's not out there.
Right.
He's hanging out. He's probably got Backstrom numbers from last night, which was 14 minutes. You know, Ovechkin had 18:42. He had the highest of the forwards, but that's because they were chasing Marcus Johansson, who can't get a point to save his freaking life on this team right now. There were two dudes that didn't get a point last night. I forget who one of them is. The other one was Marcus Johansson. Let's look right now. It was Nick Jensen and Marcus Johansson. I don't know. It hasn't necessarily hurt them. I just don't know if it's helped them statistically. So, you know, maybe he steps up. Maybe it just takes him a little while. I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But Ovechkin blew everyone out of the water when it came to power play time on ice last night. He had almost 5 minutes, which the next closest was 250 with Anthony Mantha. Which, crazy. Anthony Mantha, I'm quickly becoming a big fan of.
I'm telling you, the Mantha-Wilson duo, that is a winning duo right there. I mean, I don't even know how to compare that. That's like Han and Chewie. That's the Bash Brothers. It's I don't know. I don't know if there's a sidekick either. They're Iron Man and Captain America.
Backstrom's the shorter kid from the Mighty Ducks that ends up being like the third Bash brother, because Backstrom throws it around from time to time.
A couple times, but like they were paired up with Lars Eller last night on the third line.
He can play with anybody. Well, Backstrom didn't play quite as much, and clearly he's got some sort of injury or something going on, because he wasn't even in the game against Boston when they won 4-2.
That's true.
So they went and they beat Boston without Nicholas Backstrom, which is impressive. I mean, they're getting wins earlier in the season without him as well, but I think we're finally seeing this team kind of start to come into form. They're doing it at the right time. Orlov was out last night. I didn't see why. I don't know if it was like a maintenance day for him or something. That's what they said. Backstrom was out for a maintenance day. And I don't necessarily have a massive issue with a little bit of rotation amongst the defensemen. So, you know, Irwin can be ready should something happen in the playoffs or one of the other guys. You know, I don't love that McMichael's not getting minutes, but, you know, has he done enough with the ice time he's gotten? You could argue yes, but I don't know. Maybe that's one for next year in terms of how he's doing. But, you know, right now this team's playing well, so there's nothing to complain about, no reason to really move things around. I do think you have to look at the win over the Flyers as what it really is that you beat up on a team that's not going anywhere this season, that's rebuilding. And I don't think you necessarily look at that team and go, they have to play in the game against Toronto. Like, if Orlov's coming back or able to come back or ready to come back, you put him in. Like, Irwin, sorry, you're going back up to the press box. We're putting in a player that can contribute more to this, what this team needs, than you can. And that's not being mean. That's just reality.
No, it's not being mean. It is reality. But this team is doing all the right things. They're looking good. They're heading in the right direction. I like the fact that they're taking up for each other. This does feel like a team mentality. This feels like a team that's ready to win. I think the only question mark still is the goaltending. We still don't have a clear number one. And if it is a 1A, 1B situation, I think they're going to continue that throughout the regular season. Right now, this past week, it seems like Sammy might be your guy, but Vitek didn't look bad in net on Sunday up against Boston. So I don't know. I feel like that might be still the only question mark they have right now.
Well, I have two: the goaltending and Marcus Johansson. Like, can you contribute, please? That's my question for him. Let me phrase it differently. Can you contribute offensively, statistically? Put the puck in the net. I mean, they didn't need it in the last game, but the fact that they won 9-2 and he didn't get a single solitary point.
Right.
Come on now. Like, you couldn't have gotten an assist by accident. It didn't, like, hit off your butt and go to someone and go in. Like, come on now. My sister's favorite story about Marcus Johansson is the time we went to, I think it was a Caps practice, and he was sitting in the stands. And it might have been rookie camp. one of his first few years. But his pants were, let me put it this way, hanging a little low. Yeah. So my, I'm not going to phrase it the way she does, but she likes to always bring up the fact that she saw his butt crack. Anyways, so my biggest question, like you, is the goaltending. And I question, how helpful is this for the defense? I'm sorry, not even the defense, for the everybody. If you're looking at this team, if you're a player on this team, and one, you don't know which goalie is going to be showing up each night, and I don't mean that in terms of Vanacek or Samsonov, is it Jekyll or Hyde? Which right. one? Which version of these goalies are you going to get? Does that negatively affect you mentally going into the game, where you're going in going, God, I'm going to have to play a bit more defensively, which means I can't contribute as much offensively, or I'm going to have to be blocking more shots, risk more injury, more bruising, which, you know, muscle aches and things like that, which technically would slow you down potentially in the later in that game or the next game. Because you know you're not getting consistent goaltending from either one of these guys. Hopefully that will change. I just don't know. You know, we don't know yet.
Yeah, time will tell. We will see. There's still a couple games for these guys to figure this out, but the playoffs are right around the corner. Looks like the Capitals will be in that playoff spot. The only question is where. So, Coach Dan, anything else we should talk about here in Caps World?
Last little bit is a little news came out. John Carlson recorded his 50th, that's 5-0 assist of the season Tuesday in that domination over the Flyers on the TJ Oshie goal in the first period. And that is the fourth time that Carlson has reached the 50 assist mark for a season. And he becomes the 17th defenseman in NHL history with four 50 assist seasons in his career. So congrats to Carlson on making some news.
I know that we always talk about how fantastic Alex Ovechkin is and how lucky we are to watch the Ovechkin era of Capitals hockey. But, I mean, how lucky are we to live in and watch the Ovi era, the Backstrom era, and the Carlson era all happen? I even throw TJ Oshie in there as well because of all the things he did in Sochi, even though he was with St. Louis at the time. But to be able to be fans and watch these games live with that much talent on this team, it's just insane. John Carlson, he doesn't get enough recognition from the world out there, but geez, the guy's one of the best ever.
I mean, he's an outstanding defenseman. He plays solidly night in, night out, and they still got him locked up for a few more years. He's only 32, so even when we've moved on from the Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie era, you know, when these guys have all retired, you still probably have him for a few more years. You know, maybe he's not playing as many minutes. He's not playing as well as he was, but he's probably sticking around, especially with that cap hit. You know, he's your solid, outstanding defenseman that they built their defense around, and it's worked out. And he's had so many different partners over the years.
He has, absolutely. And he's only 32? Why do I feel like he's been on this team for, like, all 42 years?
I mean, like Wilson, I think he if I remember correctly, he came up pretty early.
He was a Bear, though. Didn't he win the Calder Cup with the Bears?
He might have, but was that one of the times that the Caps got eliminated from the playoffs and then they were able to kind of send him down and let him contribute in the AHL?
Maybe.
But, I mean, you're looking at Wilson's only 28. They've got him for potentially 10 more years. They have a contract with him for at least two more after this season. And then you've got, I mean, you got, look at a guy like, we should talk about this, Garnet Hathaway and the season he's having.
Yeah.
I mean, he's playing incredibly well for a guy who gets fourth line minutes. He's a grinder. He, you know, you're not expecting him to put up a ton of points, and he's got 24 points on the season. He's got 12 and 12, which I think, let me go and check his career stats, but I want to say that would be one of, if not his best season in the NHL, which is correct. His best before that was when he was at Calgary, 2018-19. Interesting. Same one as Wilson. That would be an interesting lineup, him and Wilson together. With Dowd, everybody's just throwing punches.
That's
right. And hitting people in ways they probably shouldn't. But he's got a career year right now. 12 and 12 for 24 points in 67 games. That's a guy that was a nice find by Brian McClellan.
But he was with the Flames before the Caps, right?
Yes. Let me double check that, but I'm fairly confident. I believe he was with them and they signed him from there. Just double checking his career stats because I feel like I saw another team on his.
Yeah, he was with the Flames. I think that it was a shock that he was available. Like, they didn't have to trade or anything. They just let him go.
Yeah, he was a free agent, and the Caps sort of snapped him up And that worked out really nicely for them. So, you know, he's a little older than I think, you know, we want to have a couple of young guys contributing. He's got a contract through next season. And then they have, you know, a question in terms of whether they want to keep him around or move him or let him go or potentially move him out in a trade, whatever the case may be. But at 30 years old, he's probably still got a good few years left. And as a guy who's a grinder, you know, if his body can stay healthy, if he can eat right, exercise right, do the things he needs to do to keep his body healthy night in, night out, he could still contribute on this team depending on his cap hit is for, you know, a couple more years after that. Probably another, let's see, he turns 31 in November. So he'll be 32 at the end of his contract. Sorry, he'll be 31 and like a half at the end of next season. So do you sign him to a 3-year deal? It depends on the cap hit. Or do you go with someone younger? Do you look at, you know, is it time to really turn over the reins to a young guy at that point or go for a free agent? Because he'll be turning 32. We'll see what your cap space situation is like. But that's a couple years from now. Or next year. So it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do there. But Hathaway's having a great season. He, you know, is he gonna be this offseason's this playoffs Devontae Smith-Pelly? You know, that's potentially what this team needs. So, you know, things are going well right now, and hopefully it continues.
Yeah, we will see down the road. So, Coach, is that it for Caps World?
Yeah. I think we're ready to go down on the farm.
All right. You heard the coach. Let's do it. Let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 2-1 with wins over Springfield and a loss to Lehigh Valley. The Bears are currently fourth in the Atlantic with 75 points, one back of third place Providence. But Providence has played 6 less games than the Bears. Yeah, so the AHL season's a little ECHL thing going on here where it doesn't make any sense to anybody anywhere. They'll be back at it tonight, that being Wednesday, in Lehigh Valley before heading to Wilkes-Barre Scranton on Friday. Do they play in Wilkes-Barre or Scranton?
It's all the same.
Like, there needs to be a rule here. Pick a town. Anyways, they'll be there on
Scranton is the one where the office happens. The office. So I go with them.
I'm going to look this up. What are they? The Wilkes-Barre Scranton.
At the end of the second, Bears are up 1-0 as we record this.
There we go. Where is the like Wikipedia thing for them? Based in, watch them, not even based in either one. In Wilkes-Barre. Okay, so you know what, Scranton, you don't get them anymore. Anyways, they'll be playing in Wilkes-Barre on Friday. They then host Providence on Sunday at the Giant Center before heading back on the road on Tuesday against the double named Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-1 with a win and a loss to Florida. They're currently sixth in the South Division with 60 points. Now, they're going to wrap up their season with their penultimate game tonight in Norfolk before ending their season on Friday against those same Norfolk Admirals. In other Stingrays news, Captain Andrew Chernowickan. The captain named Andrew, he played in his 400th game as a Stingray, so congratulations to him. That's pretty cool.
Now, is he a capital prospect at all?
If he's played 400 games, I don't think so anymore.
Okay.
No offense, buddy. I mean, you're clearly a better hockey player than Brandon and I probably combined.
Correct.
No, not probably. Yes, combined. Yes. But, you know, no. Anyways, congratulations to him. That's what's going on down on the farm.
I'm trying to see under his elite prospects.
No, he's not.
So he's just an ECHLer.
He's probably signed with South. I mean, my guess is he signed with South Carolina. He's, you know. Oh, I don't know if he has like another job outside of that. I would imagine a lot of ECHL guys have other things they're doing to make money.
He's been with the Carolina Stingrays since 2011. That's crazy. Good for him. Making a career out of it. Way to go, dude.
Yeah. Congratulations to him.
Yeah. All right, that's it for what's going on down on the farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. All right, here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. It's not just the Caps getting ready for the playoffs. There's other teams doing it as well. So, Coach Dan, catch us all up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond.
Let's start with some collegiate news, where for the ninth time, Denver is the NCAA Division I Hockey National Champion after they defeated Minnesota State in the Frozen Four. Denver scored 5 unanswered goals in the third period to take the championship. If you give up 5 unanswered goals in the third, you definitely don't deserve to win that game. Like, after the second one, you're like, maybe we should start playing better defense.
No, after the second one, they're like, let's just go home.
We're done. It's over.
I'm better at beer pong than them.
Yeah, right. Well, congratulations to Denver. In NHL news, the game between Seattle and Winnipeg that was supposed to be played tonight was postponed until Sunday, May 1st, due to an expected extreme weather conditions in Winnipeg.
What's happening in Winnipeg?
Snow, I would imagine. The NHL was not only concerned about getting players and fans to the game, but post-game travels for both teams. The NHL season was originally scheduled to end on Friday, April 29th, so it's being pushed back a little bit to get this game in. You mentioned it earlier, but Pittsburgh's Evgeny Malkin was shockingly suspended for 4 games for cross-checking Nashville's Mark Borowiecki. I'm not saying shockingly because it wasn't deserved. I'm saying shockingly because he's a Penguin and they actually came down on him for something.
That was pretty shocking.
Malkin's got some anger issues. This was completely unnecessary, and he definitely earned that 4-game suspension. He wasn't the only one, as the Islanders' Casey Cizikas was suspended for 1 game for boarding Carolina's Brendan Smith. Minnesota's Ryan Hartman was fined $4,250, the maximum allowable, for unsportsmanlike conduct during their game against Edmonton. Now, for those who haven't seen it, Hartman put up a specific finger in the middle of his hand in the direction of Edmonton's Evander Kane after a bit of back and forth. I'll let you guess. Brandon's giving it to me right now. It was the favorite finger of a Stone Cold Steve Austin back in the day.
What?
So, yeah. Now, here's the thing that I didn't write in the notes that I read shortly before we started recording, which I thought was pretty funny. So, he got fined. Minnesota fans, as well as some fans of other teams, found his Venmo.
What?
And started sending Ryan Hartman money to help pay for his fine.
Oh, man.
Not only were the fans of the Wild and other, I think there was Vegas and maybe San Jose, I could have that wrong. The estranged wife of Evander Kane, who was on the receiving end of that middle finger, she Venmo'd the dude $200. That's messed up, but that's pretty funny.
She ain't bitter at all.
there's a whole lot going on there, but we're not going to get into that. But Hartman wasn't the only one fined. Nashville's Colton Sissons was fined $2,500 for spearing Ottawa's Josh Norris. That's not nice. And then Evander Kane, things are weren't necessarily great for him already, as he was fined $5,000 for kneeing LA's Sean Durzi.
No one's Venmoing him.
Yeah, I doubt it, but he probably doesn't need it. Anaheim announced that they have picked up the option on the contract for head coach Dallas Eakins for next season. And finally, the NHL announced today that Boston will be hosting Pittsburgh in the 2023 Winter Classic, which will take place on Monday, January 2nd at Fenway Park.
Again at Fenway. They're going back to Fenway.
Well, where else would they go? Foxborough? I think they actually prefer baseball stadiums. Because the seats all face towards home plate, which is typically where, in the sort of infield area, is where they put the rinks. Right? Do I have that right? Someone do the research. Ryan, you'll know this. Of all the Winter Classics, have there been more at baseball stadiums or football stadiums? And I'm only doing Winter Classics, none of the Stadium Series nonsense. Just the Winter Classic. Have those all, you know, which has had more, football stadiums or baseball stadiums? But that's news for the past week in the NHL and beyond.
I know we're getting the Hurricanes game. But
we're going there.
I'd rather go to Fenway than Carolina.
I mean, I'd rather not go to either because Carolina, I don't care. But I'm not trying to get beat up in Boston.
Well, they'll beat you up, but then they'll buy you a beer after.
Well, that's nice. I mean, I'll and then tell beer, you it's your I fault. Appreciate it.
You shouldn't have let me punch you.
That's not how it works, but okay.
Well, is that it for the show, Coach?
That's it.
All right. Well, if you guys would like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things. Also talking about Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, the Washington Commanders. Can Snyder go away? Every week, there's something else comes out. And you're like, how is the NFL at this point, have they not just been like, did you watch Entourage?
Oh, of course I did.
Okay, do you remember the scene when the dude, I don't know exactly how it gets to this point, but that dude gets an eye surgery and he's in there and he's like, Ari Gold was really like down on himself throughout most of the episode, and then he got his like mojo back and he's feeling great. And he goes in, that one dude who's talking about how he's like doing an eye test and how he got laser eye surgery or something, and then Ari Gold fires him. Where he goes, let me see if you can read this. And he goes, he writes on the board and he's like, you're fired. And he goes, you're fired. And in case your ears are, get the out. that is what they, like, Goodell needs to roll up into Ashburn, go in there and do that scene. Or the other scene from Entourage where he goes into his company buys out an agent's company.
Right.
And then he goes in, what was it, with a paintball gun?
It was a paintball gun.
Yeah, and he just goes, he's messing around with everybody in there. And Lloyd is hiding, although he treated Lloyd horribly for years. But anyways, that wrapped up relatively nicely. That show, looking back, has a lot of problems.
Who was it? It was Kevin Connolly and Jeremy Piven were on Piven's podcast, and they were discussing how they would like to do another movie. Because everyone has been saying how they can't do Entourage nowadays. And
you just have to call yourself out for the inappropriate stuff you did before.
Both of them were like, I think that would make a better movie, because what could we do? How far could we push it? Like, is there stuff that we would take back? I don't know. Like,
first movie was dumb because it completely erases the last the last season.
Yeah, it just felt like a supersized episode. It wasn't anything special.
But it was like we've gotten off topic again. Yeah. But anyways, can we get Snyder out of here? Like, how much more? The sexual harassment stuff and the things he put women through should have been enough to be like, you're done, buddy. Get out of here. It never should have gotten to this point. Someone in that building with a pair should have, or doesn't presently have a pair, should have stopped that from happening. But then it's one thing after another, and now he's like literally potentially breaking the law. Like, you're gone. Goodbye. Ted, you're already looking like you're going to buy the Nationals. Come on over to Ashburn.
Yeah, don't buy the Nationals. Buy the Commanders, because I feel like it would be cheaper.
And get Dude, get them at a good rate. Easily $2 to $3 billion for the Commanders. Big market, big team. The stadium's going to be expensive because they're only, I think, in FedEx for 4 more years, 5 more years is the lease, something like that. They put that stadium in Virginia. It might be out. Anyways, somehow that was finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show and you also want to talk about how, on Facebook that is, talk about how we, Dan Snyder is a horrible human being, go ahead and find the show on facebook.com/whatthepuckpods, where you can find out what new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, potentially the Hershey Cubs, and whatever else may come into Brandon's head that he thinks is funny, as well as news about the NHL. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Brandon, if someone happens to be a fan of the I'm not advocating for this, but if you've had enough of the nonsense that is Dan Snyder and you just can't do it anymore, and you happen to be from the state of Maryland, and you might be interested in following that other team that plays in the state of Maryland, there are podcasts you should check out.
Yeah, even if you're not from Maryland, you can listen to my Ravens podcast, Ravens podcast called The Call. I mean, we're open to everybody. We've got lots of fans over in London and Europe. I'm just going to generalize it. We've got a lot of fans over there.
London and Europe. London's in Europe, buddy.
Well, you can check out my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. You can check it out. Me and my buddy Josh, we're going to get you ready for the draft in a week or two, eventually. When I have some time, everybody, we're recording this show right now at 9 o'clock at night after I worked like 10 hours today. So I'll get to the call eventually at some point, maybe when things calm down. We'll see. But if you enjoyed this show and you've listened to us for free, Make sure you write us an Apple Podcast review and you rate us over on Spotify. And make sure you tell your friends. Let your friends know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck and you should too. Let's talk about the games until we talk again. On Thursday, April 14th, the Capitals travel up to Toronto. That game is at 7 o'clock, and that game, you can watch it on NBC Sports Washing. First time in like a week, we're going to get some local broadcast talent there, some Joe B., some Locker. That'll be nice to hear those guys again. Then the Caps travel to Montreal on Saturday the 16th, the home of the screw job, Bret Hart forever. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that one on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Monday the 18th, the Capitals travel to Colorado, taking on the Avalanche. That is a 9 o'clock start. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington or on the NHL Network. And then we'll be back. You know what's kind of interesting, Coach? Look at these next couple games on this road trip. The Caps, I mean, they were in Toronto technically in 2020 during the bubble playoffs, but they have not played in any of these stadiums or arenas, I should say, in almost 2 years.
It's going to be interesting.
They got to think about that. This is going to be their first time in Vegas again, right? Vegas came here already once this year, right?
I think so. Yeah, earlier in the season.
And then this is the first time back in Colorado. So, I mean, with the way the world has been going, all the crappy COVID stuff going on has kept the boys away from this kind of road trip. You know, this will be some interesting hockey. First time in almost 2 years going out west like that. So that'll be a little – it'll be nice to see again. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.